Well, good morning, Bridge City Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Listen, we tried to figure out something during the first worship experience. You all can help me. During the video, you heard that guitar riff, and I was very tempted to take Brandon Dunn's guitar and just slow jam the teaching the whole time, but I can't play the guitar. And it's not lip syncing because I wouldn't be singing. I'd just be playing guitar and pretending. So what's that called? It's not air guitar. I'd have a guitar. We don't know what it's called. Is it guitar syncing? Figure it out. There's many smart people in this room. Figure it out. But listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. And I say it every week. I'll continue to say it. I'll never stop saying it. There's no place I'd rather be this side of heaven than with you all worshiping God and praising his name. It's an honor, a privilege to be here with each and every one of you. And I'm so thankful that you all chose to spend a portion of your Sunday morning here with us doing exactly that. And today we have a special Sunday because we're kicking off connection groups. It's an exciting day to kick off groups. Groups are not just something that we do at Bridge City Church. Groups is really a part of who we are. Groups are vitally important, and we're going to unpack that today, completely discuss that. We're also kicking off a new series today, and it's all about a book, and obviously the Bible, but also a book entitled The Master Plan of Evangelism, and it's available for sale. You can get it at there's a stand over here next to the giving kiosk, and I'm not just saying, hey, you should read this book because it's a good idea. This is a book that really impacted and changed my life years ago in something we called the Ministry Training Institute, and we're going to unpack this book over the next few weeks, and there's some connection groups that are going through this book, and I'd really empower you and encourage you to read along. And we're not going to read word by word every single week, but we're going to take excerpts from the book, and we're going to take the ideas of the chapters, and we're going to go through them and talk about them. And it's really great that whenever our church is reading a book together, we're all moving in the same direction together. So $10 for a book, and you'll see what God's going to do through the book over the next years and decades to come in your life. I guarantee it. Every time I say I guarantee it, I feel like the Men's Warehouse guy. What's his name? Does anybody know his name? Did somebody say his name? You're going to love the way this book reads. I guarantee it. All right. Let's pray. But before we do, I want you to know that we're kicking off this series and groups because of a verse that God gave us as the church years ago. And said, this is really how I want you to build the church. Over four decades ago, this verse was what the Bridge City Church was built on. And it's 2 Timothy 2:2. And that verse reads, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." We're going to unpack this verse a little bit more later. But this verse is what everything that we talk about today is hinged upon. We're going to continue taking what we've heard Jesus teach, and we're going to learn that and then pass it on to others and expect you to pass it on to others. That's what Jesus did, and that's what we're walking out still today, well over 2,000 years later, and we're seeing it work. That's Jesus's plan. There's no backup plan, and that's how he's growing his church and growing his kingdom. So let's pray, and we're going to jump into today's teaching. Father God, I thank you for the fact that you are continuing to grow your church, Lord, and nothing will prevail against it, Lord. God, I thank you that we are all called as your sons and daughters to draw others closer to you. God, I thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, what you're going to continue to do. Give us an expectation, Lord, for what you have planned. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, so I realized halfway through the first worship experience that I hadn't given like ground rules to my preaching in a long time. And we have some new people. So one thing that I really love when I'm preaching is audience participation. Okay, so if I ask a question, you answer. Okay, do you understand?
Yes.
Look at that. Okay, if I say, have you ever done this, raise your hand, you raise your hand. If you haven't, you don't. Sound good?
Yes.
Okay, see, half of you fell off. From the first yes, you were all in. Second yes, you're unsure of the question or what, but we'll get there, okay? We're gonna work it out today. So how many of you ever built something with the end in mind? Like you knew what you were building and you knew what it was gonna look like when you were done, okay? Now, how many of you have ever built something and then you knew what you were building, you knew what it was gonna look like when it was done, and somebody came up to you during the process and were like, what are you doing? Okay, Jordan and I have built things and we looked at each other knowing what it should look like when we were done and we're like, what are we doing? And we had to call in the heavy hitters. Uncle Paulie had to come in, okay? The skilled laborers. But I've built things and I know what it's supposed to look like. I know what it's going to look like, but I know it don't look like that right now. Okay, I put a patio in my backyard. When I say I put a patio in, I put some pavers down. Okay, like I dug it out and put some pavers down so my picnic tables didn't sink into the backyard. So, but it was hard work. Like I had to dig it out, I had to level it, I had to put stone down, had to tamp the sand down. Jordan signed on thinking it was just going to be an afternoon project. It was a week. Okay, he didn't show up the whole week. He was there for like a couple days. And then it got really beyond. But I just thought this up one day and I'm going to do it. I had the end in mind, but I didn't know what the in-between looked like. But I was along for the ride. Okay? So many times we do that. Why am I talking about this? Because Jesus is building his church and he knows what the end looks like. Jesus is building you, and he knows what the end looks like. Jesus has a plan, and he knows what every day, every moment, every second looks like. But so many times we get stuck in the right now and what it feels like and what it looks like right now and what we think, instead of knowing that we're to place our lives in the hands of the builder, knowing that he knows the plan. And his plan is perfect. It's not like IKEA's building material, like their manual. He's not giving us too many pieces. I'm smarter than that. I know things. Dowel rods. IKEA gives you so many dowel rods, one wrench, and an Allen key. Build. And they give you pictures. No wonder you have so many extra dowel rods. Rachel looks at me at the end like, "How did they? That was nice of them to give you those." It really was, babe. It was nice. They were thinking ahead. They knew that one of those might break, so they gave me 10 extra. Listen, Jesus knows the beginning, the end, and the in-between. He doesn't know when he's coming back, God knows, but listen, he's prepared a place for us, and he can't wait for you to get there, but he still wants to do some building while you're here, and he knows the plan. Jesus was very ordered in his life by his objective. His main concern was not programs to reach the multitudes, but with men from whom the multitudes would follow. He wasn't concerned about these big, grandiose meetings. He wanted to have those, yes, but he also wanted to have time with a group so so that that group can go impact the multitudes. We got that from the book that is for sale for $10 over there. That's just one of countless quotes in this book that will challenge you and impact you and help you to see that you're part of the plan. What is the plan? The Great Commission. You know, so many people, even with church, 51% of USA churchgoers have never heard the Great Commission. 17% actually know what the Great Commission is and understand it. You know, some people heard the Great Commission, they're like, wow, Jesus must have sold houses. Got a Great Commission. How do I get in on that? What's the pay scale? We're going to talk about the Great Commission today and help you understand that we are all a part of it and we get to walk it out. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus came and he told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I want you to note that the authority that Jesus has, he's sending us in that same authority. He's giving us the same authority that he has. We get to walk in it. I also want you to understand that in these verses, the thing that we're focusing on is make disciples and go. In our culture today, and in our minds and in our world, we're so good at overcomplicating things. We're so good at taking simple things and making them complicated. I am a simple man. I've said it before. I'm not stupid, but I like things simple. I used to get yelled all the time when I said I was simple. No, I'm not stupid. I just like things simple. If it can be done simply, let's do it that way. Let's not overcomplicate it. Let's not overcomplicate what Jesus has called each and every one of us to do. Make disciples and go into our world. But we complicate it. How do we complicate it? We think we're supposed to go into the world and that's too big for us and we get overwhelmed. What's the difference between the world and our world? The world is a big, big place. Sorry, I started singing a song again in my... It's a big, big place with lots and lots of... Anyways, okay, here we go. The world is a huge place, overwhelming. You can't impact the whole world. Only a few people have ever been able to do that. But you can impact your world. Go into your world, your neighborhood, your workplace, your school, your friends, your family, the people you're going to bump into at Aldi or Walmart or Giant Eagle or Trader Joe's or Whole Foods or Fresh Time. I don't think I missed any grocery stores that are in the area. Foodland, Shop and Save. When's the last time you had Foodland? I just tried to pick all of them. I want to be inclusive here. Is there a Foodland still in operation? You sure? I'm finding a Foodland. Save a lot. Save a lot. Thank you, Ace. Any other grocery stores I missed? Kuhn's, yeah. Didn't they sell? Some of them did. All right. Anyways, you're going to impact people in grocery stores that I will never be able to meet. And I'm going to help people in grocery stores that you're never going to help. And you're going to get to have conversations and share things. I'm not saying you're going to make disciples right there in Giant Eagle. Giant Eagle. Let me give you an example. Every time I'm in a grocery store, I'm asked to get something off the top shelf. You may never be asked to do that. Okay? People don't ask me to get things off the bottom shelf. If it's below my knee, I don't go get it. But what if I just started doing that? Like, hey, listen, I'll get that can of soup for you. But first, we're going to talk about Jesus. What if I did that? What if I started, like, giving ground rules to getting things off the top shelf for people? No, it's just taking what you've experienced here out into your world. If you're going to share the good news, allow for it to actually be good news. If you're going to say that Jesus and his church and his people bring you joy, allow for that joy to be evident in your life. I tell people all the time, if you're going to wear a Bridge City Church shirt, sweatshirt, hoodie, hat, make sure you're joyful when you have it on. If you're not ready, carry another hoodie in the car and throw that on when you go into a store or a restaurant. But making disciples, this statement is a verb. There's action to it. Go into our world, share the gospel, convert people. People once were this, now they're this. You once were this, now you're this. People once saw you this way, now you're this way. That's the loudest that anything will ever speak in other people's lives, is when you start to change your life because of what Jesus has done in your life and others see it. Man, you used to be miserable. I know. Jesus changed my life. Man, you used to be a drunk. I know. Now I'm drunk on something else. Man, you used to be a miserable drunk. I know. Come check this out. Share the gospel, baptizing them, confirming that they are Jesus's, that their identity has been set. We're going to have baptisms here at the end of the month. You could sign up to be baptized if you've already received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're already walking in relationship with him and you want to outwardly show all the things that God's done in your life, sign up for baptisms. The QR code's going to pop up behind me. Here it comes. Here comes Shay. She's in the back right-hand corner if you want to see her. She'll do it. Go ahead, Shay. Give it to us. Yeah, Shay! You could sign up for either date. September 29th here at the White Oak Campus. December 31st, we're all together at North Braddock. Ending 2024, bringing in 2025. It's exciting. Now here, going back, after people are baptized, after they begin things, what are we going to do? We're going to teach them to obey God's word and commands. Uh-oh. Lots of people get to the baptism part. But it's hard to start to obey his word. It's hard to start obeying his commands. I'm not talking about thou shalt not kill. That's a great one. But a lot of you weren't going to be murderers to begin with. I'm being serious. How about love your neighbor as you love yourself? Loving people, caring for people. Being an objective learner to follow and obey all that he has commanded. A disciple, what is a disciple? A learner, a doer, a student, a pupil, somebody that follows the teacher and the teaching. Turns thoughts into actions, complete obedience. Not a little bit of obedience, because that is disobedience. Right. Trying to help Lennon learn that. Daddy, I listened yesterday. Okay, great job, bud. I'm really proud of you for that. But how about we listen, let's build that on top of each other. Obedience is not just a, hey, I'm going to do this every once in a while. It's following him. And guess what? It's way more simple when you have others encouraging you, empowering you, and pushing you forward. You can do it. Everybody needs a you can do it every once in a while. Everybody needs a pat on the back. Everybody needs you can do it. I believe in you. A disciple, helping someone to progressively learn the word of God, to become a mature, growing disciple, is to be trained in the truths of the scripture and the lifestyle required. To help a believer learn to be a disciple of Christ in the belief and practice of his word. But there's a word that's crept into our world and our culture that has discounted discipleship. Y'all ready for it?
Yes.
Okay, remember, we went back to the whole, I'm going to tell Kevin. Kevin's ready for it. Here, come here. Y'all ready for the word that's crept in and discounted discipleship?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. It's mentorship. Mentor, I have a mentor. Mentorship's not bad. Having a mentor's not bad. It's not something that is bad. So let's get that out of the way. But having a mentor is whenever you go to somebody and you want to learn one thing, and you go to them and say, hey, mentor me, and then you leave. Sean, he's a strong man. Like, I'm not just saying he's a strong man. He actually competes in strong men competitions. Sean, teach me how to throw giant beanbags 45 feet in the air. Mentor me in this. Sean, teach me, mentor me how to carry semi-trucks. Sean, please mentor me how to squat houses. Train me, mentor me. And then when we're done realizing that that's not going to happen, I'm going to leave. You know, limping, but I'm going to leave, okay? Here's another example. Jordan plays the bass. Jordan, mentor me in how to play the bass. Okay, he was up here today. Jordan, mentor me, and he's gonna tell me I can't watch YouTube. That's how I learned. Okay, we've been down this road. We've been down this road, okay? I understand what a mentor relationship is. You go to somebody to learn one thing usually. Not a bad thing. Ken and Cassidy Johnson, they are leading Financial Peace University this semester. So excited about it. You can clap for them. That's great. Okay. They really want to see people get free. They're going to mentor people in their finances. Ultimately, those relationships in Jesus' name are going to lead to disciple relationships. But they have a very specific purpose. Very specific, very pointed, very curriculum-oriented. And they are going to stay on topic, and it's going to be laminated. Mentor relationships aren't bad, right? They're not. They're very beneficial. What's a discipleship relationship look like? We're talking about everything. Everything's on the table. Can you have a discipleship relationship through learning how to squat houses? 100%. Can you have a discipleship relationship by learning how to play the bass? 100%. Can you have a discipleship relationship through Financial Peace University? 100%. But when you have the conversation, hey, I wanna start this discipleship relationship. Okay, everything's on the table. We're talking about everything. No holds barred. We're not just mentoring. We're living life together. That's the difference. Discipleship. The discipler decides what the disciple needs. Mentorship. The mentee decides what they want from the mentor. Huh. Jesus loved everyone. He fed the multitudes. He trained the 70. He discipled the 12, and he had an inner circle of three. Relationships are important. Groups are important. Getting into one another's boats are important. You're like, wait a second, I don't have a boat. You got a life, and that's a boat. And sometimes it's sinking. Or you're just taking on water. And only others can point it out. Jesus' master plan to reach the world required people who were appointed, who were ready to accompany him, and were ready to walk in his authority. And his plan is perfect and purposeful. So here's a question that keeps me up at night. It makes me pray a lot. It's an exciting weight that I get to carry and wonder. Are we making disciples, or are we just having a nice worship experience on Sundays? Are we impacting our worlds, or are we just having church? Are we walking out Jesus' plan and strategy? Are we being intentional? Are we understanding what Jesus started? And are we walking out the plan knowing that he has the end in mind? That end result in mind. Let's turn to Mark 3, verses 13 through 15. Afterward, Jesus went up on the mountain and called out the ones he wanted to go with him. And they came to him. Then he appointed the 12 of them, and he called them his apostles. They were there to accompany him. And he would send them out to preach, giving them authority to cast out demons. Jesus called them out. He gathered them together. Into a group. You know, it doesn't say it, but I can only assume that Jesus got a list of their names and he made them download an app, and then he tracked them and invited them every few days to a gathering. Sounds like a group. Sounds like something you could sign up for. That's my first mention of signing up for a group. The next one, I'm going to tell you should sign up for a group, and at the end, I'm going to tell you have to. So I'm just letting you know the progression. I have a plan. I have the end in mind. Okay? Listen, he wanted them to be with him. He wanted them to spend time with him. One of the first things that Jesus did was he got himself a group. This was a significant part of his plan and his objective. Jesus wanted to be with them. He wanted to be in close association with them. He gave them authority. Notice, we think in terms of responsibility and obligation and duties, he just gave them authority to walk in. Jesus wants to give us all the same authority, but relationship is required. And sometimes we're not willing to pay the cost because relationships get real. And we're totally okay with an hour and 15 minutes on Sunday mornings. How's he know that? Because I was there. I didn't start going to a group until Pastor Rick threatened me in a corner. And you're like, you're way bigger than Pastor Rick. didn't matter. I had hid long enough. Appointed to make someone into something, to manufacture a company, to be with. Straightforward, without limits. This authority, a delegated empowerment. You are empowered to do something. You've been given keys. Start unlocking the doors in your life and in others' lives. We have a lot of generations represented in here. Some of you, you've been given the code for the door. I'm going to talk about the book again. Here we go. Here's one of my favorite excerpts from this book. This excerpt got me to understand that I could be a part of this. When I read this for the first time, I felt like there should be a picture of me right next to it. Jesus appointed these type of people. The men Jesus chose were impulsive, temperamental, easily offended, all the prejudices of their environment. They were awkward, limited abilities, slow to comprehend spiritual things, ignorant and unlearned according to the world's standards. But they were teachable. And they had big hearts. And they were willing to confess their needs. When I got to that part in that excerpt that said, and they had big hearts, I was like, oh, you're talking about me. Yeah, I'm impulsive every once in a while too. And by golly, I got angry on my way here. But you know what? We all think differently. We all have that moment in our life where we all have something we can relate to. Maybe you were picked last for a team or for a group, and you feel like you know what that made you feel like as a kid or as an adolescent or a teenager. You know that feeling, and you feel like I don't fit in, or I couldn't be a part, or I'm not smart enough, or I don't measure up. Those were some of the lies I heard, that I'm not smart enough. I'm not going to be able, I didn't grow up in this. I'm unlearned. I'm ignorant. You know, the only disciple that came from a more refined, educated region of Judea, one of the smart ones, the educated one, the one that by the world's standard should have made it, was Judas. So you mean the ignorant one, the unlearned one, the angry one? Yeah. I want to be compared to them, not Judas. These guys that Jesus chose weren't of any special breed. They were teachable. They were hungry. They were pliable. They were able to learn. They were able to submit to authority. They were able to follow the plan. They were able to follow Jesus. And it works. Jesus proportioned his life according to a purpose and a plan. Jesus spent 73% of his time with the 12. 46 events with the few and 17 with the masses. What's that tell us? Relationships are important. and the relationships that are created within groups are the most important. I love gathering on Sunday mornings. I say there's no place I'd rather be on a Sunday morning than right here with you all worshiping God and praising His name. I might have to change that. There's no place I'd rather be on a Sunday morning, but connection groups are really important. I'd rather be there. That's the A idea. It's not the final result. I'm going to work on it. But people ask me all the time, if I can come to church or connection group, which one would you tell me to go to? Connection group. That's how important groups are. You can listen to our Sunday morning worship experience. You can have a great worship experience because of the Sunday morning online worship experience that is produced great every single week. You can't recreate what happens at groups. We can't record that and send it to you. Every week, we want you to be a part of that. It was intentional by Jesus. It was intentional for the disciples. It should be intentional for us. 2 Timothy 2:2, here we go again. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Listen, the Apostle Paul used the same pattern as Jesus, and we're using the same pattern that the Apostle Paul used. I'm using the same pattern that Pastor Keith used. Pastor Rick is using the same pattern that Pastor Keith used. And so on and so forth and so on. Every connection group leader is using the same pattern. Take this and pass it on. Take this and pass it on. It works. Share your life. Be teachable. And then share your life with somebody else who's teachable. To one faithful, able person at a time. This is the foundation of Bridge City Church. It's tied to discipleship. And you know what the success of the church looks like? Succession. Passing it on. There's a lot of churches every single week closing their doors. Why? Because they didn't have a succession plan. The pastor didn't know how to pass it off to somebody else. Discipleship wasn't in mind in the beginning. Success is based upon succession. Who's going to replace you? How are you going to get others to participate and engage? If we begin like Jesus, it'll be slow, it'll be tedious, it'll be painful, it'll be probably unnoticed by people at first, but the end result will be glorious, and some of us may never even live to see it. I think about the people that launched Bridge City Church 40 plus years ago. They didn't know about a White Oak campus. They didn't know about Brighton Heights campus. They didn't know about the Murraysville campus if they could only see now. When the White Oak campus launched over a decade ago, a majority of you weren't here, but we were praying for you. 67 people launched this campus. And I don't know what the final count was today, but it was probably about 340. We were praying for all of you. It was slow, it was tedious, it was painful. Blood, sweat, and tears. But it was Jesus' plan, and it worked. 2 Timothy 2:2. How do we accompany him? Chapter 2, association. You know, it's beneficial to just be in the room, to just be together. You know, I wonder if the disciples really knew what they were getting into. I really wonder. You know, it's just like marriage or a new job or going to college, no one really knows what you're really getting into. I think if you really did, a lot of us would never jump. I would have jumped, babe, fully. Even everything, I would have jumped. I'll continue to jump every single day. That was your turn to say, me too. We'll talk later, babe. That's my wife sitting in the front row, by the way, just in case. You could tell her later that she should have said me too without him saying anything. But a lot of times we wouldn't jump because we want control. We want to know everything. We want to figure it out. But when we try to figure it out, when we try to control everything, sometimes we just miss it. And we don't enjoy the ride. We miss what we could be enjoying because we're trying to figure it out, or we won't get past our fear. I was scared to go to a group because I didn't want all these people to get in my life. I'm so thankful I got threatened to get past my fear 16 plus years ago. Here's a perfect example. I finally got Rachel to ride the Thunderbolt yesterday. All summer I've been begging and begging her to ride the Thunderbolt. She hates roller coasters, but she loves me. So she rode it. She will now be riding it every single time we go to Kennywood. Here's why. She did not stop smiling, laughing, and having a great time the whole time we were on it. So now she can't say, I don't like it. She got past her fear, enjoyed the ride, and everything was great. If you tell me the reasons you don't like Connection Group, go to Connection Group and tell me you didn't enjoy it. Just try it. And then tell me all the things that you told me beforehand. I guarantee you're going to have a great time. You're going to make friends. You're going to grow closer to Jesus. And all the fears are going to be gone. And there might even be a picture to prove it, like I have of Rachel having fun on the Thunderbolt. I have the picture. I have video proof. Phantom's Revenge is up next. Don't say no, Rachel. You're going to have a blast. Acts 4:13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived what they were uneducated, uncommon men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Listen, they did not attend some prestigious school. They weren't sponsored students. They weren't the brightest. They weren't the best. These guys were just taught, but they had something even better. They weren't just taught. They caught things. Sometimes catching things is better than being taught things. Along the way, they got developed and made into something. You know, we get fixated on information and behavior modification when Jesus is looking for transformation. He's looking to completely change you. Not get you to just stop doing this one little thing and not just give you all this cool information. No, he's looking for your life to be transformed. And it happens just the same way it happened for the disciples. Time. You know, I used to get told all the time, I'd tell people, give them heaven. And like, you're talking like Pastor Rick. Pastor Rick says that. So be it. How you doing? Better than I deserve. Pastor Keith says that. Well, guess what? So do I. No greater compliment than to say that you're becoming like the discipler. Lots of on-the-job training. That's how it should be for each and every one of us. Learning opportunities are everywhere for those who want to learn. I didn't go to seminary. You know, I took a bunch of classes. I did all that, but I did not go to a standard, like, seminary. And I'm so happy that I didn't, because a lot of the guys that I know that went to seminary, when they got out, they're like, I don't know any of the stuff that you're walking in already, because there's a lot of knowledge and wisdom that can't be taught in a classroom. You know, look at Jimmy Young Sr. sitting here in the front row, firefighter for decades, and I can only think about all the firefighters that just finished the academy and then came to fight a fire with him, and he's like, they don't know nothing. You got to teach them on-the-job training. Knowledge is gained by association before it's gained by explanation. That's page 42, by the way. These books are for sale for $10. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to read this book and you're like, oh, he said that. He taught that. We're pulling stuff from this book and it's for sale for $10. But in case you don't buy the book, I'll read that again for you. Knowledge was gained by association before it was gained by explanation. The on-the-job training increased in years 2 and 3 of Jesus' time with them. It was accelerated. Being in the room is vital. So what room do I want you to be in? Obviously, this one's a great one. There's no place I'd rather be on Sunday mornings this side of heaven than here. But I really want you to be in the room that your connection group that you're going to sign up for is in on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays. You should really get to be a part of a group. What is a connection group? It's a group of friends that gets together, prays, reads the Bible, and decides what they're going to do about it. I switched, reads the Bible and prays. You could do it in any order you want. But the first one is a group of friends. Notice it isn't a group of people that sits under the tutelage of the smartest person in the room, their connection group leader, who's going to give them a dissertation of all the things that they know for an hour and 15 minutes minimum weekly. No. It's a group of friends that's going to get closer to Jesus together. Connection groups have 3 basic elements. Someone to follow, a leader, the Bible, and prayer together, and growth. We're all going to walk in obedience together. So if you're a connection group leader or an apprentice this semester, if you could just stand to your feet for me. I want to pray over you and have people just get to see some of you. I know we did this during the first worship experience, and I actually went around and I spoke about each of them individually, and then people clapped for every single one of them, and it took a long time, but it was worth the investment. It was important. Here's what I want to do this time around. I want you to recognize that all of these people standing, and Jimmy's standing in the back, and I'm standing as a connection group leader as well, none of us know everything. We're all everyday, ordinary people. Go back to the first excerpt from the book. We're all ignorant, impulsive, temperamental, easily offended, prejudiced of their own environment, awkward, limited abilities, slow to comprehend spiritual things, and unlearned. Join us. Join us. But we're teachable. We were teachable. Brennan was my apprentice a few semesters ago. He was teachable. How do I do it? He led groups for years, but he wanted to learn how we have groups. Teachable. Are you still some of those things above teachable?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me too. You still some of those things above teachable?
A lot of them.
A lot of them. Yeah, me too. Dawn?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. You on a sanctification process? Are you becoming more like Jesus every day?
I'm doing my best.
Yeah, you're on it.
Yes.
Lord, are you on it?
Yes.
Yeah. Every one of us are. Every one of us. Join us. Hey, Seva's going to be a commercial for next semester. You can sign up for a group right now on your phone. You can scan the QR code on that invite list on your seat. This isn't going to be like kickoffs as usual where we have everybody with sign-up sheets in the back and you get to go sign up. Here, look how cool this is. Group leaders are going to be in the back. They're actually, if you don't scan the QR code on their seat, they're going to make you scan a QR code on their phone with your phone. Paperless. We're trying something new. We're learning together. We're teachable. I want to pray over them. I want to pray over you, and we're going to wrap up, and then we're going to make sure that you sign up for a group, not because you should, not because I'm inviting you, because you have to. Told you I was going to get there because I know that it will change your life and your perspective on the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for these men and women. I thank you for who they are. I thank you for what you've done in their lives and what you're going to do both in and through their connection groups, Lord. God, I thank you for every home, every coffee shop, every campus room that they're going to meet in, Lord. God, I thank you for every participant that has already signed up and every participant that is going to sign up, not only here at the White Oak campus, but throughout Bridge City Church. Lord, we are not just going to participate in a group that's here. There's groups throughout the whole entire city of Pittsburgh. There is room for each and every one of us. So Lord, may we sign up to participate in a group and not just be consumers, but be contributors in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Group leaders, if you want to start to make your way back to the cafe, you can do so. Everybody else, we're going to have Kevin wrap us up.